In China, excluding Hong Kong, more than 325 people have died from SARS. That stark number hides countless stories of fear and struggle. One of those stories unfolded in a school for autistic children and their parents in a town on the outskirts of Beijing. NPR's Richard Harris visited the school and has this report on the director and the many painful decisions that a brush with SARS forced her to make.
The Stars and Rain School for Autistic Children is in a neighborhood in transition, part industrial park, part old Chinese village with ornate arches and guarded gates. A bright red and yellow awning adds a splash of color, and hundreds of strings of origami cranes festoon the school's arbored entrance. But on this day, the school hardly feels like a school at all. There are no kids, just teachers and staff, mostly at loose ends. In the school's office, director Tian Huiping leads a staff meeting. The mother of an autistic boy, she founded the school 10 years ago. Her darting eyes, easy laugh, and quick movements put at ease a staff that has been through so much. In late April, a volunteer at the school, a graduate student named Sui Li, fell desperately ill. She was eventually diagnosed with SARS. Mrs. Tian's first challenge was to find a hospital to care for the young woman, an exodus that took her across Beijing as she was turned away from one hospital after another. Cui Li lay near death, and Mrs. Tian felt responsible. But Cui Li was not her only burden. She also worried about what to do with the 50 autistic children and their families who were attending the school from all over China.
I try to call the agencies and try to get someone to tell me how I should do or to come to give me some intervention.
But when the health authorities didn't respond immediately, Mrs. Tian realized that she could not wait. Her first instinct was to stop the families from taking their children home so they would not risk spreading SARS on their trips or in their towns and villages. This was not an idle worry, Mrs. Tian explains as she walks through her school.
Yeah, here are the vacant classrooms.
She pokes her head in one room, about 8 feet wide and 15 feet long. Kid-sized wooden chairs are stacked neatly along the wall, donated by the Norwegian embassy, she says. This school teaches families of autistic children how to cope, so it isn't just children in the rooms.
9 families in one classroom. It means over 20 people in such a small room. This is why I was so worried about if the virus was spreaded. Yeah. So this situation is not very positive. They're very dangerous.
But the families were overwhelmed with fear. And though Mrs. Tian wanted to keep them near the school in quarantine, she couldn't really stop them. She felt a huge burden, a sense of responsibility, when all 50 families packed up and left.
I have been very, very disturbed by this guilt, so that I couldn't help to think that it was me to let them leave and sort of take trains and planes.
Next came another hard decision, whether to report the fleeing families to the authorities. In this chaotic time of SARS, it was not clear exactly what the government would do with this information. But Mrs. Tian felt it was her responsibility to speak up in the face of the epidemic. One family returned home to Guangdong province, where they ran a small soft drink store. But soon after they arrived, an ominous van full of people wearing biohazard suits screeched up to the house and bundled the whole family away.
It was such a shock to this family. So, and you know, the kids was crying and the old people, they were shocked. And the whole family was such a chaotic.
Mrs. Tian soon got a desperate call from the mother.
She asked me, please, Tian, tell them that I didn't have contact with Cui Li. Please tell them. But I cannot do this. I told them it will be over. It's only two weeks quarantine.
It was not that easy. To Mrs. Tian's dismay, the mother said her neighbors turned against this family and refused to patronize their soft drink business.
And so she said, so our business is finished. And all the, you know, the neighborhood, yeah, the community, they saw such a terrific scene, yeah. In that moment, I feel so guilty to this family.
Meanwhile, Mrs. Tian had sent the staff of Stars and Rain into weeks of quarantine, either in their homes or within the walls and courtyards of this school.
Here is the cafeteria, and you see here all these paper cranes, and so this is, I think, good souvenir.
The paper cranes are everywhere, 3,000 of them, made by teachers including Wu Liangshang. He had eaten dinner with Sui Li the night she fell ill, so he was worried about his friend as well as his own family when the long quarantine began.
We were making paper cranes and lighting up candles to pray for her health. SARS brought us such a sudden shock that we never experienced before. We're beginning to feel how valuable and how beautiful life is.
The quarantine staff didn't know it, but Sui Li's condition went from bad to worse as she lay in the hospital. Mrs. Tian kept that to herself so as not to add to their worries. She was, meanwhile, fretting about one mother in particular who had met face-to-face with Sui Li the afternoon of her fever. Even she had left the school, despite Mrs. Tian's strong pleas.
So I was so sad about this response, and I hate her, you know. I hate her. And I think if everybody like this, so even the government cannot do anything to hinder SARS.
Once the woman got home, she started phoning the teachers, furious that she'd been reported to the health authorities.
And so she cried and she complained about it. And so I just tell her teacher to send her the message and said, be lucky that you are now still healthy. And think about if you were infected here, yeah, what will happen with your son, autistic son. Yeah. So, you know, this is the biggest worry.
It would be a nightmare to try to control this disease in a child who can't control himself. The mother even called Sui Li's cell phone to complain while the young volunteer was near death in the hospital. That really infuriated Mrs. Tian.
I cannot understand her and I cannot forgive her, yeah. And so I hate her. But you know, 1 week later, and Sui Li had the birthday, and so Sui Li sent me a message. And she said that this mother, she let her son sing the birthday song to Sui Li. Happy birthday to you. And Sui Li was so moved, you know. And as I saw this message, I was also, you know, I cried. So I think nobody is a bad person. Yeah, nobody is a bad person.
Mrs. Tian's feeling toward this woman softened more as she learned about the trouble the family had faced. After their quarantine ended, their community forced them to move away. Mrs. Tian says at least there's no more life or death fear gripping the school today. Sui Li survived her brush with death. The quarantine lifted last week, and no teacher, parent, or child got sick. That's a huge weight off of Mrs. Tian.
I think, yeah, nothing happened here, so I can forgive myself. But, now what I'm very, very worried is about the school. Now it's the school.
Because of SARS, she's had to cancel one entire term, so Stars and Rain lost one quarter of its tuition income for the year. It's a huge financial blow to the non-governmental school.
So it's the first time for me to think whether my school can survive this crisis. Such a challenge for me.
Her staff is worried too, but they're sticking it out, even on half wages. One teacher in a white lab coat brushes back her hair and plunks down at the piano as her colleagues sit under the awning, leafing through the newspaper. This is the routine at Stars and Rain for today, but Mrs. Tian is passionate and resourceful and determined. Determined to reopen a school that she says is unique in all of China. Richard Harris, NPR News.